Ernie, if you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a very familiar passage that we'll be sharing from this morning, but we're going to be looking at it from a different point of view than what we normally do as we search out the scriptures concerning chapter 9 and the first few verses of it. But they're here, and it's a question that these five seniors are going to face in the days ahead concerning work and what direction they go in and what they want to try to accomplish in their lives in the days ahead. And as they do so, I think it's very important that each one of them ask that question themselves. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And you think about that in your heart and your life. Saul, who later we learn is going to change his name to Paul, but Paul is fresh out of school, just like y'all. Scripture says here that he went out breathing and threatening and slaughtering the disciples of the Lord. He made a plan for his life to go out and make a name for himself. And I hope and pray that each one of you do the same in the right manner to do so. But when we heard of Paul, or Saul the first time, he's standing there at the stoning of Stephen, patting his foot and rejoicing that this mighty deacon of God's Stephen was stoned today. But when you look at the life of Saul, and I want us to do that for a few minutes and see what's taking place here. Saul's name in Hebrew means desired. Desired. His name, Saul, in the Roman language, which God's going to set him on a path to in a little while, it's going to be Paul. He is born down there in Tarsus, and the scripture says that Tarsus was just a city in the land there of Sicily. His mother and daddy were both native Jews, so he fit right in. He called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews because both mother and father were both Jews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he's lining up with everything just like it ought to be. His education was in the schools of Tarsus. If you went back and you studied his history and stuff, you'd find out that he had a very similar situation such as we do in our land today. He went through the schools there in the land where he was. He went through his elementary schools, his middle school and his senior years and high school and stuff, just like you are accomplishing today. Also, when he finished high school, he went on to college. He went to seminary, and he graduated from these and begins his life. And as I said a few moments ago, he set out to make a name for himself. And I hope somewhere in my future the Lord allows me to live long enough. As I look at each one of you, you know, I was there when all four of you were born. I didn't know Ian then, but I learned to know him and love him. He's He's been my buddy ever since he's been with me here at Bexley. But I've seen you since day one and watched you grow and watched you achieve many, many things in your life along the way as you were doing the things that God wanted you to do. But I also understand that Saul here was doing what he thought he ought to be doing. Now, I don't know. I haven't talked to each one of you personally, but I kind of got an idea in my thick skull up here that you've already made some kind of plans or preparations of where you go from this moment forward. When you walk across that stage, what's next? What are you going to do? Where is it going to lead you? And what you going to find yourself doing? I can tell you from personal experience, when I came out of school all those many years ago, you know, everything I had planned for myself didn't absolutely line up with what God wanted for me in my heart and my life. And it took some hard knocks to get me from where I was to where the Lord wanted me to be in my heart and in my life concerning those things. And so he's in seminary and college, and he's studying divinity or preaching. And as he's preparing himself, he's kind of weak like I was in a lot of areas and stuff. So he had to have a tutor to come in and help him to be able to graduate and get his degree in the School of Divinity there. Gamaliel was his tutor that cared for him and took place. You know, college is expensive. And whichever route you go, whatever you do, you know, mom and dad can't do everything, so you have to help some yourself, you know, and what you are planning for. Old Saul had it pretty easy because his mom and dad were tent makers. And he learned that trade alone, and when he went off to school and stuff, he had somewhere that he could apply that trade and get him some help financially along the way. God has a way of preparing us and getting us from where we are to where he wants us to be in our lives and what we do. And so as I thought about this and thought about what the Lord would have us to do, I want us to understand that before Saul's name is changed to Paul and he becomes a saint, he was a sinner. And he was completely outside the will of God. Watch what happens here in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He was gung-ho. He was full blast to do everything that he could to stop the cause of Christ and any Christian teachings, any church that might bloom up and flourish in any form, any thought that he had. And when he found out that down at Damascus that a little spark there had come and ignited into a flame, that a church was really doing well down there, he said, I got to stop this. I can't let this happen. And he goes to the high priest, and he desires of the high priest to allow him to go down and to deal with the folks at Damascus. Listen what verse 2 said. He says here, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Three things he points out there that's important in that verse of Scripture concerning Saul and his determination to do what he wanted to do, regardless of what the Lord may have planned for him in his heart and his life. The first thing the Scripture says there, he desired, he asked, he begged, he wanted these letters from the high priest. What he wanted to do was to go down to Damascus, and notice what he said here, and see if he found any of this way. If there were any Christians down there, if there was anyone that was trying to formulate a church and put together the things concerning that, he wanted to stop them. He didn't want to advance the cause of Christ. He wanted to stop it. And he said, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He had no respect to persons. And Satan will do anything he can to destroy you and keep you from being what God wants you to be. I want you to notice next what he said to him. And as he journeyed, he was on his way. He didn't wait till he got a sign of any way. He's doing the desire of his heart to make a name for himself, go down there and do what he wants to do. I don't know, you may want to be a doctor, you may want to be a lawyer, you may want to be a teacher, you may want to be whatever. Just don't be a politician, you know, in your hearts and your lives. But think about it. What does the Lord have for us? What does he have concerning us that he may want us to do in our hearts and in our lives? But the thing that bothers me concerning this that Saul is dealing with here is the fact that Saul made all the plans. He made all the preparations. He got everything he could get, and he put it all together to go out and make a name for himself. From the time of early elementary education, through his middle years and through his high school years and into his college and then on to seminary and all he could think about, all he could desire in his heart was the fact that when I get through with this, if I find out anybody in any way, well, I don't care if it's man or woman, if they're trying to advance the cause of Christ, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to burn down their facilities. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep them for us in our lives. But I want you to know, and I hope you realize it from what God's telling you here, God has a plan for the life of every one of his children. And I'm not just talking to you five here this morning, but for all of us, God has a plan for us in our hearts and our lives. And it's a reasonable plan, a plan that we can expect that for God to speak to us and to do what he wants us to do. And the way that we find that plan is to share in the experience of that plan to do what the Lord would have us to do. And so where's the teacher come in? If we got a plan, if it's something we need to learn, we got to do, I handed each one of you the teacher, the plan, the Word of God, anything that comes your way, any need that you have, as God prepares you for that plan, is contained in that Bible as I shared with you earlier in what we were saying. Scripture says here, as he journeyed, you're about to step out on your future journey to go in a direction that the Lord, I hope, is leading you and carrying you. And it says here that as he journeyed, he came near unto Damascus. He is on his way to a goal to meet the people in Damascus down there. And if there's anything Christianity involved, he would destroy it. And the scripture says that as he's on his journey, suddenly, the scripture says, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And what's taking place? He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Drastic change is about to come about in the life and the plans that Saul had for himself. As he's dealing in this, and the last thing that's on his mind is to have a personal one-on-one meeting with the Lord. That can be very, very appealing in our lives. I want to share you a little story of my own. You've heard me tell it probably before, but I'm going to tell it again. And I want all of you to listen. You know, back when in my days of rebellion, when I knew the Lord was calling me to preach, and I was running from the Lord, I wouldn't agree to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do that. I might could do a wedding, I might could do, but I would never be able to do one of them funerals. My heart's too big. I show my emotions too easy. I just couldn't do that, Lord. And the very thing I thought I couldn't do, that's the one thing seemed like the Lord used me more for than anything else in my life and stuff. But I left over at Merrill one midnight from that fish camp over there. And I headed home, and I thought I turned right, but I turned left. And I went out, and I went across the swamp to 57 over that way. And when I come into the Leatherberry Slough in my Bronco, it just slid around sideways. And I hit that bridge, and I got out, and I looked, and I had a little room in the front, had a little room in the back. I got back in my drunken stupor, and I backed up and pulled up, backed up and pulled up. Finally got off that bridge. Hit 57 down to Bendale, back to the house. Remember driving wide open. Next morning, my mom come in there and woke me up. She said, son, what in the world did you do to your truck? I said, I didn't do nothing to my truck. Yeah, she said, your truck tore up. I got up and looked out the window. It was sitting like this. I broke the springs and shocks and stuff out from one side when I hit that bridge, you know. Later that day, I wanted to go back and backtrack myself. I was trying to, I know I just can't figure out how I've done that, what I did. And I got back, and there wasn't much traffic through the swamp then, and I got there, and I could see where I slid and where I got out and stuff, and I was standing there, and if you've ever been over there in the evening time when the sun's going down, it's a beautiful place, and that clear black water, and you can see your reflection in that. And I was standing there, and I was looking over that bridge railing and looking down into that water, and I could see my reflection in that water. God spoke to me just as plain as I'm speaking to each one of you right now and said to me, Larry, I've driven you home my last time. You're on your own. I don't know, and I hope you never do, experience what it's like to know that the Lord has withdrawn his presence from your life. Man, it took days and weeks for me to overcome that and finally do the Lord's will. Ask him to forgive me of my sins and save my soul. But I continued to run. I got involved, played ball, taught Sunday school, but I wasn't where God wanted me to be. And because I wasn't where God wanted me to be, I was a very miserable person. Till you accomplish what plan God has for you in your heart and your life, you'll never be at peace with yourself and with God. Listen what he says here. The scripture says that he fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Listen to this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Wow. What did Saul just have with the Lord? I put it in Bexley lingo, All of them knows that he had an eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important in the heart and life of every one of us in our lives, that we've had that one-on-one relationship with the Lord where we have admitted to God that we're sinners and ask him to forgive us of that sins and save our soul, give us that assurance of a home in heaven. Verse 6 says, here's Saul. Remember just a few minutes ago, he's Mr. Saul. He's on his way to Damascus. He's got a letter in his hand saying he can do as he pleases with the church of Jesus down there. But now, he's on the ground in front of the Lord. And he looks up at the Lord, and the scripture says, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What you can, what your options are, what to think. That ain't what the Lord told him, was it? Go into the city. There'll be a man that'll tell you what thou must do. In order for us to be what the Lord wants us to be, we got to understand his plan for us in our lives. Scripture teaches us that before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb, he knew us. He knew whether you were going to be male or female, knew who your parents were going to be, knew everything that was that he had planned for you in your heart and your life. But I want you to be honest with me for a moment. I want all of us to be honest. Have we ever stopped and said, Lord, what's your plan for my life? What you want me to do? Where you want me to go? You know, I made plans and stuff, and I tried to make bargains with the Lord. He's the Lord. You don't bargain with him. He tells you what he wants you to do, and to be in his will, you got to do it. The scripture says, he said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. All those folks was looking around, and they couldn't say a word. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. Why? The Lord wasn't there to deal with the whole party that was traveling with Saul going down to Damascus. They all heard, but they didn't see anything. And as they're dealing with that in their lives, the scripture says, he heard a voice, but they saw no man. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. You know, in my life, I was so hard-headed, I was so stubborn, I was so determined. I had my own desires, my own hopes, my own wishes, my own things I was going to do in my life. And God completely turned all that around and changed directions for my life and moved me in a different direction to do different things concerning those things. But it all come down to doing his will. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. Saul arose, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. Open my eyes, Brother Ernie. He and I didn't talk, but he had that him picked out before we brought the message this morning. Open my eyes that I may see. Every one of us, how do you find God's will for your life? The plan you got, the plan God's got. Where do they come together that you can say within yourself, this is where the Lord wants me to be? Don't wait till, like me, wasted several years not being able to accomplish what the Lord wants me to do. They brought him to Damascus, and 3 days he was blind. And he didn't eat or drink. The Lord is dealing with him. You think about that. Struck him blind. Had a conversation with him. Pointed out to him what his problem was. What he needed to do. Ask him, what will thou help me to do, Lord? The scripture says, verse 10, that there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Now I want to switch sides of the pulpit for a moment. I want to talk to all of us, okay? When the Lord speaks to us, the Lord reveals to us what he wants us to do. What do we do? Do we answer his call? Here's Ananias. He ain't got a dog in the fight. He don't know a thing in the world is going on. But God does. And God needs a man at this time to lead this blind man to where the Lord wants him to be. And he calls out to him. And the scripture says, he said, Ananias? And Ananias answered and said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Behold, I'm here. Are you where God wants you to be in your life? Can you ever be at peace with yourself till you're at peace with God? Most important thing in your life is to have a right relationship with the Lord. Most miserable place in all the world to be outside the will of God for your life. The Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He's blind. He's having to be led around. He ain't eat or drank for 3 days. And the scripture says, Ananias, I need you to go down to a street called Straight and find this Saul of Tarsus and have seen in a vision that he's praying and he said, Ananias is coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. He's going to restore Saul to his side through the hands of an innocent bystander that the Lord knew that he needed him at the time and he could fulfill that job. So many times, there's people out there that needs to know somebody cares about them, somebody loves them. Somebody's praying for them in their hearts and their lives. Ananias answered and said, like good old Baptists do. He said, Lord, you know what you're talking about? I've heard by many, all kind of rumors had come through Damascus, how much evil this man called Saul had done to your saints down there in Jerusalem. They just slaughtered them, burnt their homes, and destroyed them. Verse 14, he said, and here he hath authority from the chief priests. He's got a letter sending him the right to do this, to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, just go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Ananias, just go do what I told you to do. And then he reveals his plan. Look at God's plan. He said, he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles. Every one of us ought to be a shouting right there this morning, because that's where you and I got on board, is being able to be a child of God, is because the Lord opened the door from the Jew to the Gentile. Before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then finally, I like what he said in closing. For I will show him how great a things he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him. God didn't say he's going to be on his own. What'd God tell him? I will show you what things thou must suffer. He didn't promise us a rose garden here. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say we could do as we please. He didn't say he gave many of us a task to do. And there's no wonder to me in our world that we're a part of today that we're in the mess we in, because so many people have chosen to go after their desire rather than the Lord's desire for our life. We're just passing through here, folks. Man is a woman of few days and full of trouble. But how long are we going to be with him in eternity? Forever and ever and ever. But if you reject him, hell's the same course. You'll be there forever and ever and ever. To each one of you, again, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, it's been a privilege to be your pastor for many, many years. My heart and my life. And my biggest desire is that you find your place that God has planned for you in your heart and your life, and you surrender not my will, but thy will be done. To do what he would have you to do in your heart and your life. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we come to the close of the service for our seniors, Lord, they got a lot ahead of them. And I know, and you know, that Satan's going to do everything in his power that he can to get them to follow him rather than follow you. They got two ingredients that's important if they're going to succeed in being everything you want them to be. One, the church has given them the gift of a Bible. And the needs and the problems of life ahead can be contained in that scripture. The other tool they have in their chest is they can pray to God and he will guide them. He promises in his word he never calls on us to do anything. Father, you promised us that. Call on us to do anything you doesn't equip us or empower us to do. And I pray for that anointing this morning on these young people and our church as a whole, that we will show ourselves a workman, not ashamed, when our time comes. Speak to our hearts this morning. There's a need here this morning. There's those that are trying to do it their way instead of doing it God's way. Open their eyes that they may see. They can have peace with you. These altars will be open, Lord. They can come kneel and pray. Lord, I'll be glad to pray with them about any need. But don't get the cart ahead of the horse, Lord. Don't let us do that. First thing's needed, we need to know that we're a child of yours, that we're saved. We never made that decision for you. I pray you'd have the courage to step out this morning and follow the Lord and do what he would have them to do. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing, Brother Ernie.